Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Now, let's get to today's confession. Good morning.
Good morning, Natalie.
Okay, we come on here laughing because we have already had 15 minutes of fun with our guest.
She has been singing all morning. If you're watching the YouTube video, she is like dancing.
In my head is this Instagram dog, Jay. It is my okay, so this is what I was gonna say. I'm not starting off this morning's episode with singing. Don't worry, Paul. You'll get that tomorrow.
Cool. So sounds good.
We've got our guest as part one and part two because it's so good. And so,
that's true.
But I like to always sing when we start in. And then, of course, JJ makes fun of me, which seems appropriate. She is the older sister. Older is the word. And, but I have a new guilty pleasure. And
give it.
It is.
Spill it.
It is the Instagram dog that is shaking his head. And it's just all these funny memes. And it doesn't even matter what the word is. It's just that dog. And I don't understand how the dog did that. Like, and then I watched the cat memes. And this is actually bringing me more joy than Hallmark. Paul's like, there is no joy in Hallmark.
We will make sure that in the show notes, Natalie, we include
your link in the show notes. Yeah. Paul has all this great information, and then there's the Instagram of the dog dancing.
Yeah.
Done. Okay, okay, let's focus. Let's focus. Get right back in because we have an awesome confession today. And it's so good. Okay, you go.
And you know what, Natalie? It's a man. It's a boy.
It's a man.
So we say that because this is part of our male caregiver series.
We love our male caregivers. And they're brothers.
The male caregivers. Yeah, they are. And they're like the hidden caregivers.
They are hidden caregivers.
Today we have Paul Potashnik with us. I practiced that. Good job. I mean, I know you're all impressed when I'm able to say the guest last name. And when we first spoke with Paul, his story resonated with ours a lot. But it was times two. His dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's within a few months of retiring. And a few years later, his mom was diagnosed with Lewy body Parkinson's. Today, we're here for the beginning of this story, Paul's father, and the tips and resources Paul shares from home healthcare to maintaining new love. Well, that's all part of the story. So, Paul, we are so happy to have you here with us today.
Awesome. Excited to share my story with you guys.
You're not allowed to sing. I lay down the law right off the bat.
Yes, so he is.
That's all I have.
I think I'll crack everyone's screens if I sang.
Oh, no. Okay, so I feel like we need to know, now that you have new honorary sisters, do you have any other siblings?
I have an older sister. She's about a year and a half older than me. And during this whole process, so like with my mom, my dad, like started off with my dad. So she was in the process. So she was married. She was in the process of getting divorced, and she had two young boys, and she had some things going on at work. And so, I mean, it was kind of like with my dad, it was like kind of divide and conquer. I was like, you know, my sister was sent, you know, I knew what was going on with my sister. So it was kind of like, all right, like you just kind of fill in the gaps where you can, like, I'll take the lead on this, make sure the boys are okay. And, you know, make sure everything's okay at work. And, you know, so.
Oh, look at Paul just jumping right in.
I know.
Right in. I know. It's right in the middle of that younger biscuit.
I have so much to say about this topic, you know? I really do. It's like, it's, you know, it's just something that the whole journey has just kind of stuck with me, you know?
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Yep. You were born, and then let's fast forward. So tell us a little bit of background, like Cliff Notes version, up to what led up to caregiving.
Yeah, so I mean, well, grew up in a small Massachusetts town. With my mom, dad, and my older sister. And, you know, went to local high school, local college. We both did. And, yeah, I mean, my dad was an electrician. My mom was a registered nurse. My mom came over here from Ireland when she was 21.
Ooh.
So, oh, yeah. So, yeah, no, things were, I mean, I hit the lottery with my parents. They were the best. Love them to death. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it was when I got into like my late 30s, that's kind of when I started caregiving a little bit. I was just kind of taking care of things around the house. Mom and dad were, you know, they were doing fine, but, you know, things, you know, definitely accelerated as time went on.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to just note Paul's mom was a nurse, and I think that might play in a little bit because I'm thinking she had a method that she wanted things done. Is that maybe correct? Even with your dad or
100%.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
So, oh yeah. She was an Irish nurse.
She was an Irish nurse, which really feels like, you know, did your mom drink Guinness? You can tell me.
No, she barely even drank actually.
Oh, well there you go. So she's not really Irish. She's really like,
yeah.
American Irish.
American Irish.
She have a little brandy here and there. That's that was it. Yeah.
You know, and that was just for a sore throat. I think we all know that.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Chest cold, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So did you stay in town? Did you move out of town? Or you say you're doing the stuff around the house. So you got to be close.
Yeah. So I never left Massachusetts. Yeah. Grew up there, stayed there, went to college there. And so, you know, my parents, when they moved to a 55 and older community. Right around the time they both retired. They retired about like a year later, year and a half later. So that was further down towards like Cape Cod. Mm-hmm. So, but that was, you know, really good too, just because everyone kind of kept an eye on each other, which was great. So there were some things too, I think, that just kind of went on that I never even knew about because, like, you know, they would ask neighbors for help or whatever. So
So you mentioned that right before, I guess, right around the time your dad retired, that's when this Parkinson's reared its ugly head. Tell me about that, like how that transpired.
Yeah, you know, that was so random. So my dad was going for a dermatologist appointment, and he's talking to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist is like, oh, so how long have you had Parkinson's for? And my mom was just like, oh my God. She's like, that's it. She's like, I just missed it. She was just so busy, like with work and like all these other things. She's like, that's why he's like acting so, that's why the change in my husband. So they ended up getting, you know, going to neurologist, getting him tested. And then, you know, that's how they confirmed everything.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow. Did not know that was the diagnosis. Well, we chased the diagnosis for probably 4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, my mom was like kicking herself. She's like, you know, but she had a million things going on. And she was like, I just can't believe that. She's like, now I think about it. She's like, oh, it makes perfect sense. You know? Yeah. So. Mm.
Did your mom see it for a couple of years? Like, how did she see that? I guess more of like the communication. I think it feels like your family's a little bit close.
Yep.
And so you're having good conversation and things like that. And your mom's like, hey, your dad's kind of this, or did you see things? And everybody just kind of just like blow it off a little bit.
Yeah, he slowed down, and we just kind of figured it was just kind of like part of the aging process and stuff. We never really like put one and one together. It was actually after he got diagnosed, I would say like a couple months later, that's like when we started, like we noticed the tremors and stuff like that. But before, like not really and stuff. It was just all kind of like all at once. Mm.
That's interesting. So he gets diagnosed. At this point, you guys are doing like normal family stuff. You're still falling into the son role, right?
Right.
I always
right.
look at it like the daughter role. And there's always right. something that really kind of pushes you. It like care ends up being in a crisis. Like we had a slow burn with our mom. So like
right.
after our dad passed, I mean, our mom was diagnosed for quite some time before, but after our dad passed, you know, we're thinking, oh, we'll need to do more, but really didn't. And I don't know if right. you were kind of the same way. Like once your dad was diagnosed, you're just like, hey, what can I do? Is there any additional things I can help with? But there yeah. typically is like this breaking point.
Right. Right. So I'd say like, the breaking point was my dad was prone to falls. Yeah. So he, after one bad fall, you know, he's in the hospital and, he got released and he was still like, you know, still wasn't good on his feet. And, I was like, I just told my parents, I'm like, I sat him down. I was like, listen, like, do you guys want to stay at home? I'm like, of course we do. And I'm like, all right. Well, I'm like, now I feel like now's the time we got to get in some extra help. And that's how, we got the, home care, involved. And I was just thinking at the time, like, oh, just, you know, it's kind of like you flip a switch and like they, you know, they'll come over. And there's a little bit of a, there's a little bit of a process to it, you know?
Cause like, it's not like Uber.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not know that you did not have care on demand?
Yeah. You know, I figured, oh, we'll sign up and they can have someone come out the next day and this and that. And it doesn't work like that. You know what they'll mm-hmm. do is they'll come out and they'll come out and do an evaluation first. They have someone, you know, meet with your parents. And that kind of gives them baseline, just kind of where your parents are at and like also kind of caregivers they can match them up with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we went through the whole process and I remember I was in Chicago. She called me up afterwards because I told her, like, just let me know how things go. And she's like, I've been doing this for 20 years. She goes, your parents are the first people ever to give me a hug and thank me for stopping over. She's like, I'm gonna like hook them up with the best caregivers that we have. Like they're awesome. And she did. We totally lucked out. Like she totally hooked us up with, you know, two great caregivers. And it was funny. Like, I mean, initially, like, I mean, I helped out a lot with my dad. So like, you know, they could help him around the house, do things. But, you know, the thing is, like, I noticed after one of his falls that, you know, he's awake at all hours of the night. When I'd stay over, like, I'd notice that. And I'm like, and it was my mom waking up. So like, I would tell her, like, oh, you sleep. Like, I'll wake up and kind of listen for things. And I was like, I was like a zombie. Like, after a couple of days, it's like, oh my God, you can't do this. So, you know, that was like the other thing. I had that in the back of my head already. So it's like, after the fall, it's like I just kind of pulled the trigger and I just kind of framed it around, hey, like, you guys want to stay at home, right? Yeah, of course we do. That's what we want. And, you know, I told him, well, the best way to stay at home is to get some help. Because, you know, if something happened to my mom, then the wheel's going to fall off the train quick. So.
Absolutely. How old are your parents at that time? Just kind of a range. What's their
age?
They
were like late 60s.
Okay. Yeah. Still young. That's
yeah.
Young, Paul.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, when we're in our 20s, we think late 60s is old, but now I look at it and I'm like, no,
right?
It's not.
Yeah.
It's really not, because people are living so much longer. People are living into their 90s. And so I feel like I'm just going to be hitting stride at 60.
Right, yeah. Totally.
But that's only because I'm 12 years away from it. So when you all, so he gets the diagnosis and you're working with your mom, this is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
Did you all start having conversations about what care would look like, even to the point that your dad fell and you said, hey, I think we need to get some additional help here? Are you all having conversations about what that looks like? Or is it like, or is your mom and dad saying, no, we got this. We'll keep you guys posted on a status update.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing is, they kept a lot of things in the dark. So every time I talked to them, oh, everything's okay. We're doing great. This and that. And then it's like later on, you find out, you know, all this other stuff happened, you know? That's really how it went was like that. So, but as I started spending more time, like around the house, I started picking up more and more things and, you know, eventually got to the point where my mom's like, she called me up like in tears one day. She's like, oh, she's like, I can't take it. Like, I need help with the bit, taking care of the bills and this and that. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah. But yeah, usually, I mean, I guess it kind of, that's how it normally works is the parents are saying, oh yeah, everything's fine. And then it's like, you don't find out how bad things are until, you know, much later.
Yeah. So, and that's a question that we kind of, it kind of gradually went. So we took over mom's finances to kind of help because our dad had always, he kind of handled all the bills and all that. That wasn't mom's specialty. So you and your sister have your strengths. We know what's going on with your mom or your sister rather. What's going on in your life? Like at this time, are you like,
are you having a life working or anything? Or are you just kind of just in the ready, like doing circles around the airport?
Yeah. So it's funny. So, it was at that time that actually I started working for myself as a, like copywriter and fractional marketer for startup companies. So the good thing with that was at least I could kind of create my own schedule. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there was a period for 2.5 years where I had so much going on with my parents and like, I have to pay my bills and stuff that I was getting up. I'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd start work and I'll go from 3 o'clock till about like noon, take a break. And then I'd take care of stuff for my parents and then, you know, finish, tie up loose ends later on in the night. And that was my schedule for like 2.5 years. I mean, I was working weekends and stopping off at home. Like it was just like a lot, but you know, the good thing is I had the flexibility, like at least with my work, like as long as I'm meeting people's deadlines, it doesn't matter like how I meet them. So.
How are you feeling? Like personally?
Yeah. How'd you feel?
Are you tired?
So,
taking care of yourself, going to get your annual checkups.
To be honest, so I was like on autopilot. Like I'd have so much stuff kind of going through my head just because I'm very like, as much as I like to wing it, like when we go on vacations and stuff like that, I like to wing things. I tell that to my wife, drives her crazy because she likes to have a plan. But like with my work and like just with my parents, I'm like, I need a plan. Like I can't like like we need to be proactive and I have to know things and this and that. So I would always be kind of tossing and turning at night, and like 3 o'clock for whatever reason, I would just get up. Like it was like, I was on autopilot for like 2.5 yeah. years. It was crazy.
Mm. Yeah. Jay, it's time. Let's take a break for a second.
All right. Let's take All a right. break. We'll do it.
We'll be right back.
Cool.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we're back. We're talking to Paul. We're talking about working almost 24 hours a day, keep a job, take care of family, and Paul's on autopilot. So we're still going, Paul.
I wonder if Paul is a zombie at this point. Are you feeling a little bit like a zombie? You're just kind of walking through the motions every day.
Nope. I'm on, to be honest, adrenaline.
Bipolar high. That's how I felt when I was dealing with Jason. I felt like I could have run the New York City Marathon faster than those people who win. Okay. Because that's how I was feeling. Like I was on this pace, and when it stopped and we came back home was when I feel like the train hit me. Like it hit.
Oh
when
yeah.
I tried to stop. Cause I was like, my mind was racing.
Yeah.
So you said also that, so I heard you say, because we've had trouble with home health care, your people in home health care, it worked really well. Tell me a little bit about that, because I know you've had tips and pointers about home health care. Mm. Why did that work for you guys?
Yeah, I'd have to say, so we lucked out. It's like the first aide that we had in the house, she was awesome. And she was great. But then like as things progressed, and this was really after... this is like with my mom that we had to get someone else in as well. Cause like she was prone to wandering.
Yeah.
So that was tough. I mean, I would get phone calls and the home care agency would call me up like, we're not sure what to do. Your mom wants to send an aide home. And I'm like, so I'll call up the house. And I'm like, hey mom, what's going on? I got a call from the home care agency. They said, you want to send an aide home? My mom's like, I should be taking care of her. She shouldn't be taking care of me. Like, oh, so I'm like, oh boy. So my mom was good. Like I would talk her off the ledge and stuff. But, it's one of those deals where you kind of you know, like I would feel bad, like if I would tell the agency, oh, like, you know, I'm sorry, but it's not really a fit with so-and-so. But like, I don't know, after a point, you just kind of like, listen, you got to do what's best for mom and dad. And, yeah. You know, it's nothing personal. And we lucked out, like, the other aid that we got, the thing was this too, just with my parents, they like to see familiar faces. So if you're constantly having like new people come in, like that's not going to work. So like my parents love one. So like, I was just like, all right, well, how many hours can she dedicate to us? And like, okay, she can do this number of hours. And eventually got to the point where we found someone else and she was awesome. And, you know, we ended up grabbing her. So my parents only had saw the same two faces, which makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. You went through a home health agency. Let's correct. Become a little impolite.
Okay.
That sounds expensive.
It was.
You like that? Let's get impolite, because in the South, we don't talk about money.
Yeah.
We don't talk about those spells that people have either. But
it was.
The money piece, and it was a very difficult conversation with money. With our mom and dad were like, look at you, children. You don't get to know about any of those things. And then after our dad passed, we tried to help with our mom and said, you know, hey, what's going on with the money? And she's like, that's cute. So how did you all, like, from a financial planning piece, and you're talking about health, home aides, because I know people are probably thinking, holy cow, he went through a home agency, which can be more expensive than going through just finding someone online, because there's a lot of places online that do it now that's independent of a home health agency. And did you all think, what was the decision-making process of try to find someone on our own versus home health agency? And did you feel like your parents, did you all have open discussions around how are we going to extend our dollar?
Right. Well, it's funny. So my parents were actually lucky in that. So my dad worked for the state, so he had a pension.
Okay.
And then my mom also had a pension. She worked for the Catholic. So my mom was a nurse at a retirement home for nuns. So she also had a pension too through like the Catholic Church. So that was like nice just kind of having
that's a blessing.
That come in. So we did poke around. And to be honest with you, it was like about even between home care agency, at least in Massachusetts, home care agency and hiring someone else, you know, through online or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, so, and there were things we'd do, like, you know, sometimes like they would call out and stuff and they'd be like, oh, do you want to send coverage? And we would decline it. And like either I would stop out or maybe my sister would stop out. So that's what we would do. And then like, you know, the rates went up for the weekends, like the weekends, like, you know, we'd try to stop out and do that. So that's like what we did. But I mean, we looked at it too. Like, we're like, well, say if they have to go into assisted living, it was cheaper for the home health. Than assisted living, the way we're managing it and stuff, you know? So,
well, and also you would have that goes into a move. So your parents have moved in, they've gone into the 55 and older place, which I keep talking, trying to get Jason to go into it now. I tell him I would be the prettiest one there because I would be the youngest, but I'm maybe not, because some of these ladies are real pretty. So you guys, so we know that people have better health outcomes, respectfully. And that's, I don't want it to be an absolute statement, but if you can keep folks in the home and community, they typically have better outcomes because they feel more comfortable and it's just a different feel. And so it sounds like you've got people who are coming over who are covering X number of hours. So are you saying probably 25 to 30 hours a week to support your mom, and you and your sister are supplementing?
So initially just started off, they would come over 3 days a week for 4 hour shifts. And, it started off with that. And then like over time, it gradually started where it was like probably, 25 to 30 hours a week or something like that. Like, for a while. So,
So let's go with progression, because we know Parkinson's. Yep. So tell me about the steps with your dad, kind of what's happening around the house next. Like, where does this go?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was great. It was just the falls. That's what it was. Yeah. And with him, like a lot of times too, like he would get up in the middle of the night and walk around and then, you know, something would happen. But, you know, progressively, like the falls would get worse. And eventually it got to a point where I just got engaged and going to see my wife's.
Hold on. Oh, so wait, Natalie, back up here.
Did you say you got engaged? Were you dating?
Yeah. So, What, you had a life? Why?
I didn't think you were allowed to have a life as a caregiver. What?
I know that was so. That is a tip there. You actually can. You have to.
Right.
Is that you have to? Okay.
Yeah. Totally. You have to try to. You know. But we just got engaged and going to see her parents in Peru. Going to meet them. Going to see them. And we get to her house. I plug into Wi-Fi. And I get a text from my sister saying, oh, dad fell and he was airlifted to the hospital. And that's really where everything changed for me. It was just like from there, turned into reactive mode. So,
yeah.
Well, and you were out of the country with your future in-laws. You had just gotten there. And so you made it really nice. You just kind of breezed over that. You actually left, correct?
No, actually, I stayed the whole time. Yeah, I talked to my sister and she was like, listen, she's like, there's nothing like you can do. She goes, I'll keep an eye on him. Don't worry about it. Like when you come back, we'll figure something out.
Okay.
So, but that killed me. It was like, I was away, but she was like, and I asked her like two or three times. She's like, no, she's like, there's nothing you can do. He's in the hospital. Like he's fine. You know, just when you come back, like rest up now, because when you come back, like, things are going to be busy. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So
I like that communication though.
Yeah.
Here's my team. Tag. You're it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
So you get back and I think it sounded like this was like kind of that turning point where it was a step up. So you start spending more time supporting, correct?
Correct. And then, that's just where, I didn't know any of this stuff. I had to learn on the fly pretty much. Like, I'm at the hospital and they go, oh yeah, well, we're discharging them. Did you pick a short-term rehab facility yet? I'm like, what's that? Like, I didn't know nothing about it. It's like, they had to walk me through it. And, I'd ask my sister too. And from there I was like, all right. So, once we did the short-term rehab, they're like, oh, okay. Well, oh, by the way, like you have like 2 days to figure out like what your next steps are. Like we're ending the short-term. And it's like, heads up would have been nice. this is like a major decision, and a heads up would have been nice. So, and again, it's tough too, because you're getting pressure. Like at the hospital, like I was like under pressure because they were like, oh, you got to make a decision. And then like short-term rehab was the same deal. Like, oh, you got to make a decision. And, it was at that time, I'm like, all right. And they mentioned, oh, we also have like a long-term care here. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess we'll move them there. And then, it was on a different floor. So when we go to visit them the first time, I'm like, there's not enough help here for patients. Like, I noticed that right away. So then, we kind of went back and forth. I was like, well, can you move him back upstairs to short-term rehab? I'm like, we'll pay for that. And she's like, no, she's like, he's downstairs now. So I was like, all right. So started checking around and we ended up moving him to a facility closer to us.
Yeah.
But that was like a whole process too. Cause like, a bunch of them closed in Massachusetts. So it's like, there's not a lot of beds going around. So, it was just a lot of following up and, a lot of smiling, dialing, just calling different places and stuff like that. And talking to people too and getting their feedback and stuff.
How long did that take? The move process? Because was it Uber you just called or was it?
Did you have to wait? Yeah,
no.
Did you have to wait?
We lucked out. So it was like, 3 to 4 months and like a bed just opened up. And I was just like kind of a nuisance to them. Like, all right, we'll give it to this guy. Like he keeps on calling up, So, So we locked out with that.
I like that, Paul.
Yeah.
Nuisance. I call that, I call that persistently polite.
Exactly. But you have to be like that though. You have to be like that to get things done, So, we lucked out with that. Cause I mean, after that, like we were doing the, is it the Medicare, it's called Mass Health in Massachusetts.
It's the Medicare Advantage plan. Yeah. And the application. Like, and I'm assuming, so your dad is then now placed in, did he go to assisted living or did he go to skilled nursing?
Oh no, he had a skilled nursing.
He had progressed to the window of time that he needed skilled nursing. And was it a memory care unit where the doors were locked? Cause I didn't know if he was a wanderer.
Yeah. Okay. So my dad actually, so after his fall, he lost the ability to walk. Because that's the thing that I found out with my mom is if you have like dementia and Parkinson's, if you're in the hospital for a while, a lot of times like they forget how to walk. So that's the thing. So like, that's what happened to my dad. So, he was confined to a wheelchair at that point.
How old was he, if you don't mind me asking?
So he was 74 or 76 when he passed. So, but when this was going on, so he was probably like, in his late 60s, early 70s. So.
I hadn't heard that. It makes perfect sense that you would forget how to walk. Do you know what I mean? Like that, I mean, that's part of the cruelness of the illnesses is that you know, we talked with our Dr. Barbu, who is our mom's neurologist, and you don't die from Parkinson's, you die from some other things, the complications of, the side effects of, you know what I mean? So.
Right. Mm. And that's just kind of something, at least like people listen to the podcast, is to kind of keep that in mind is, you know, if God forbid, like your parents or your loved one has to spend time in the hospital and they have, you know, Parkinson's or dementia, something like that, that could be a possibility for them where it's like, they might not remember how to walk. And, you know, so they kind of have to kind of keep that in mind, you know, as well. Because I never thought of that, you know. And actually, it really didn't hit until my mom went into the ER. She went to the hospital, I mean, and she was in there for a couple of days. And they were like, they were saying, like, she's probably not going to remember how to walk. So, and I was just kind of like, I never even thought of that. I was kind of kicking myself.
I know when we've had situations like that, because mom definitely has been in the hospital multiple times, a lot of that it has to do when they move out in the facility as well. And when you were talking about the facility you moved him out of, it is about staffing and them being able, you know, a retrain of just being able to be staffed enough to get her up and out.
Right.
And when that staffing is low, it's sad that she'll either be left in the bed and or just here's your wheelchair. This is safe. You're not a fall risk.
Right.
And so that's a sad truth that some of those facilities are just short staffed.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm sure it's even worse now. Well, the other side though is if you don't have someone though, you could live in the home though. You could live in the home. And if you live by yourself and you don't have lots of visitors necessarily, you could ultimately end up sitting a lot. So I think, you know, it's kind of like it's as we age, it's really around wherever you reside, you really need to have lots of contact. You need, and it needs to be meaningful contact that involves movement. if you really think about it.
Yeah.
So you guys, how's your schedule shifting? Because we, you know, this is really about caregivers. You know, what's going on now as your dad is progressing? And so you're dealing with your mom who is still living in the, at home and your dad. So does your life get a little bit more complicated since you've got two people at two places in one year?
Yeah. It did. It did. You know, it's just kind of like, to be honest with you, it's like most of my attention went towards my dad because he was the one that needed the most help. And, you know, we're trying to get this application done, which took us a year, like it's 5-year look back. So he was the focus, but then I was like, also kind of keep an eye on my mom and stuff like that. Cause I did notice like once he went into the hospital, like she started slowing down. So that's where, even though like my mom, like at that time she was still driving and she was mobile, I was like, I'm keeping the aid. I'm like, I'm not going to like, cause I kind of felt like she needed that. And that'll be kind of, and we became friends and she would tell me like, you know, things that were going on and stuff like that. So it was just nice kind of having that peace of mind. So we ended up just keeping it and we just, you know, kind of reduced our hours. We had her come, you know, I think it was like twice a week, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Hold that thought.
Sure.
We're going to take a break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we're back. We're here with Paul, and we have been talking about the need for movement and interaction, regardless of your location, whether you're in skilled nursing or assisted living or even at home. That helps.
Now Paul's parents are living separately. It's almost like filing taxes. So right. Married, but separate. And so you're having as the son and with your sister, but you're the primary. It sounds like You're the primary caregiver, and your sister is really trying to support. She supports your parents, but supports you, I would assume. I'm assuming you guys are having lots of text messaging conversations back and forth.
Yep. Totally. Yeah.
And I'm assuming these are on the side, even sometimes from your parents.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We were having we would always have like debriefing conversations like after seeing them or something like that, you know, so.
And how long were
it was go ahead. Interesting though, go too. Ahead. Yeah. It's interesting though, too, because like there's always a shift, because like my parents like, oh, you can put us in a nursing home and we'll be fine. And then as they got older, they're like, we don't want to go to a nursing home. Like, we want to stay home. And so, it was like total 180, you know.
Insert guilt.
Yeah.
I guess you did. In case you didn't know, I don't want to leave. And you're like, what? So, I lost my thought for a second. Okay, Jay, you go.
Oh, that's okay.
No, you go.
Well, my question is, was there any conflict between, disagreement between your parents and you? Like, were you getting any, no, I don't want to do that? Or did they play you and your sister off one another?
Ooh, that's
like,
a good
we have that issue sometimes. Or
no,
was that, did they trust your agreements?
Yeah.
Your decisions.
Yeah. They trusted us. Like, they knew, like, you know, that we wanted to keep them at home too.
Yeah.
You know? And, so no, there weren't any, biggest thing that we had to deal with was my mom sending AIDS home. She's like, I should be taking care of them.
That sounds like our mom, Paul. I think that's everybody.
That's okay. Yeah.
No, other than that, like we lucked out, like my parents are on board. They trusted our, you know, decision-making and stuff. If anything, would have been like, oh, like they probably would have had like the AIDS stop by less, but we're like, no, let's just kind of keep things as is. You know, if they call out, like we'll stop by, but yeah. So thankfully, they were very easy when it came to that. Yeah.
Yes. I feel like mom's gotten a little more obstinate, Natalie, as she's gotten older.
I don't know that she got more.
She's like, I don't think that's what I want.
I think
I'm like, mom, that's what you're getting.
I think it was exactly what it was growing up. There's a reason that I'm just like her. No, I can see it. No, but
Paul, do you think? Okay, Natalie.
I do have a question. Are there things, and I think about this because we've helped our mom and we're girls. But a lot of this is the male caregiver series. So are there activities of daily living that you had to assist your dad with as you got older that was like, I didn't think I'd be doing this? Are there things that you thought, I am not believing I am doing this right now?
Only once, actually. And that was it. So I was very lucky when it came to that. So, you know, no, I mean, now with my mom, like there were a few instances, but I was actually lucky. My wife was there with me. So my wife's like, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. So
yeah.
No, I lucked out when it came to that, you know, aspect.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Natalie and I are like, okay, that was good. That was excellent.
So we can't believe you only had one time.
I know.
Yeah.
So I guess, Paul, you know, when we first talked to you, you talked about lessons, things that you learned, obstacles,
right,
with your dad, like when you first learned, and you carried a lot of those over with your mom. Can you talk to me about some of those things? Because there's a lot of things that our men caregivers, they don't always, when they walk into a doctor's office, even if it, your wife were in there as well,
yep,
they would talk immediately to your wife. They would never think that you were a caregiver.
Right.
But are there obstacles, things that you saw, things that you would say, hey guys, I need to pass this on to you, feelings that you've had? What can you pass on?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I would say like the biggest one, you know, to me was like, just, you know, I think, we tend just to beat ourselves up. And I kind of felt like, oh, like, why didn't I see that coming? Like with mom and dad, or yeah, I should have been on top of that. Like, you know, I would say like, I would say that, but I mean, I think just kind of caregiving in general, like people always kind of like kick themselves a little bit, just like, oh, I should have done that for, you know, for mom and dad or whatever. Yeah. You know, I think, geez, I can't think of anything really besides that off the top of my head, but
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. I asked Paul to think of some tips beforehand.
Yep.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
He laid them out.
He did
for us.
Actually. There are some very actually good tips, and I'm only going to do half of them. So I'm going to make some mentions and say, can you expand? So one, with your dad being a long-term care facility, let's talk about that. You mentioned keeping staff on their toes by going at different visiting times.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah. You know, so I just noticed that, you know, that the people that didn't stop by, that the residents didn't get as much care opposed to the ones where they saw people stopping by. I did it too, though, just to make sure everything was good, that, you know, that they were, my dad was being, you know, bathed and, you know, he's being shaved and he was clean and, you know, everything was on the up and up. And, I stopped by, like whenever I would see, I'd say to myself, you know what? Like I stopped by like on Tuesday, like at 2 o'clock normally. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop by at 6 o'clock, you know, just to see what's going on and stuff. So yeah, I would just keep them on their toes. And I know like the staff noticed that, cause they're always like, oh, like you're always here. And, you know, and I kind of felt like that was like, all right, well, listen, like if we have to allocate resources, well, we know like Paul Jr. or his sister, someone's going to be by to visit him. So let's, you know, make sure he's good. So. Yeah. You know, that's a big one. Cause also too, though, I just kind of want to see like, you know, what they're doing, like with the residents and stuff like that. You don't know until you stop by visiting at different times and stuff.
Right.
So
I think this is the other thing that you indicated, that there are companies that are adding care concierge and they're care consultants. There's all kinds of care. And we did not know this until, I don't know, Jay, how you even found this care consultant to help us when we placed, we talked to mom and placed her in an assisted living facility. We had no clue about the entire world because when we were young, you know, honestly, there was no assisted livings. And and we only thought, and everybody had said from generation, this is totally generational passed down. You go to skilled nursing facilities to die. Our mother knew when she was getting, when she went that last March that basically we're putting her out to pasture. And she was like, no,
she told us
that's what she did.
Oh,
I mean,
geez.
She totally, she totally told us that I'm going to die. Call hospice now. Yeah. But she asked for hospice a lot. And the doctors keep saying, Connie, you're not there.
And then she, let's note, then she goes and plays bingo.
Yeah.
So really, she's good.
She's really fine.
She's good.
Right,
yeah.
It
is guilt. She's passing on the guilt.
She's
Paul,
like,
and that's totally for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you use, cause I know what you indicated was companies are adding care concierge to their employee benefits.
Right.
Did you get to use that? I mean, honestly, I'm like, wait a second. You're an entrepreneur. You're your own person.
Yeah. No, I didn't even know about this stuff. This is the stuff like I wish I knew, you know? Yeah. I mean, so there's one I know, Wealthy, and they have a care concierge service. And I guess, and the cool thing with that is with their stores, like I think 80% of the company is caregivers, and they hire like a lot of the people that work with them have like a social worker background, stuff like that. So, but a lot of companies like are adding these types of services because, you know, caregiving is like, you know, such a huge problem right now with all these companies, and to attract and retain staff, like companies need to add these types of services. And a lot of times I think people aren't even aware that HR offers these things. So it's definitely worth like, you know, if you work at a bigger company, like to check in with HR and see what type of, you know, caregiving, if they have any, you know, concierge services or anything, you know, along those lines.
And not just EAP. So this is, I think this is kind of important. Yes, you can get EAP. I chose not to get it because my belief of EAP was 6 counseling sessions.
And Natalie, define EAP for everybody.
Employee Assistance Program, or sometimes they're called LAP, which is Life Assistance Program. But I did not think that I could use it because most people believe that these employee assistance programs that are subcontracted out and they're confidential. So that's really important to understand. If you ask your HR department, hey, I'm interested in this, it's confidential. It does not go back to your employer about why you're receiving it, and you are entitled to have it if your employer offers it. It is not a requirement, though, for employers to pick up EAP or LAP. And so you're right, Paul. There's a lot of additional services that these folks are doing, but also you're right about Wealthy, and I think there's Carolel, there's a number, we can put those in the show notes as well, like different types of care concierge, but you're right to absolutely look at your benefits, because this should be like the more we ask for it in the hiring process, or even, okay, now I'm a caregiver, go to your HR. Because I know there's a lot of fear around retribution, like, oh, well, you know, people might not get promoted. And we heard of somebody yesterday, Paul, that was talking about they gave her leeway, but then they were like, and when she came back to work, she was on the fast track up and suddenly the track ran out. And she was, you know, and that's a fear. I think that is a real fear that we talk about. I can't believe our time is already up, but I think it's because we laugh so much at the beginning.
I know.
That's okay. But we're going to, Paul's coming back. Tomorrow. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like we, and we're going to have, here's the thing. We've got extra content. We're going to have after the confession. We're going to stick around and keep talking to Paul for a sec. So here's time for sister questions, Jay.
I'm ready.
You go first.
I'm stealing one of yours. So we always ask this, Natalie gets to ask it though.
Yeah.
What would you tell your younger self? Something you wish that you know now. What would you tell that person about your caregiving experience, about anything to make life a little bit easier?
To be honest with you, just like enjoy life, you know, especially like when you have like no responsibilities. And like my parents, so my parents were all about, we're going to sacrifice now. So when we retire, we can spend our golden years traveling and all that stuff. And they were never able to do it. And like I'm sitting there, I think about it sometimes, like if I just go back in time, like I would have told them, do those trips now. Like you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, they're always so worried about, oh, like we got to make sure we have enough money for retirement and this and that, like, you know, and it's like, for what? So like, you can spend it for, you know, long-term care and, you know, like enjoy life, you know, that would be like my big thing is because, you know, you know, you can't be like, oh, well, I'm going to wait until I retire. Then we're going to travel. You don't know what can happen. You know, things can change really quick.
That's probably one of the best pieces of advice that I've respectfully to everybody that I've heard, because it's so true. I mean, Jason was 55 when he got cancer.
Wow.
Like seriously, you have no clue when things are going to happen and how that's going to kind of, and people could say, oh, well, I want to save up money so I don't have to worry about it. I'm like, take the trip. I agree with you, Paul. Take the trip. So, okay. One last question.
Sure.
She knows what it is. Besides the dancing dog on Instagram. Okay. What is your favorite guilty pleasure, the thing that you do just for you?
Oh, so there's actually a restaurant I love to go to, and they have these pork buns. So, and actually it was by my dad's nursing home. So what I would do a lot of times is like, I'll go see him, and then like, I'll go down there, sit at the bar, grab a drink, have some pork buns. Loved it. The best pork buns in the world. They were pork belly buns. They were amazing. Oh my God.
Like, oh my God. That,
and then they have
that.
These baked oysters too. The baked oysters are awesome. So like,
okay, what's the name of the restaurant? Because this way we can be shameless about it.
It's called Solstice in Kingston, Mass.
Awesome. Oh, Solstice in Kingston, Mass. FYI, we're promoting you. we're big in Kingston, Mass now. Oh my God, this is so great. Okay, we have more to come. Stick around for after the confession. But Paul, thanks so much.
Sure.
And we are going to get back with you tomorrow to talk about, because your caregiving journey is just beginning. Like if think dad was something, wait till you meet his mama. So guys, thanks so much for listening in. Until we confess again. Thanks.
See ya.
Well, friends, that's a wrap on this week's confession. Thank you so much for listening in on UK Health Radio. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the confession show. Don't forget, visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, sign up for the Sisterhood Advantage Club, and of course, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, and Twitter. You'll also find the video recording of all our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday when we come together to confess again. Till then, take care of you.